Defender Audio presents this unabridged recording of The Lake Frome Monster, written by Arthur Upfield and read by Peter Hosking. At sundown, he went for his camels and found they'd roamed a mile away. He brought them back to camp and gave old George his washing water to tide him till the next morning, as George was heading for a bore when caught up with. It was 2 days later on that he took them to Bore 9, this bore being the closest to his work. The Bore Lake was not as large as that at Bore 10. He tied the camels down by passing a line about their angled forelegs and then circled the lake. There were no cattle tracks and not a single horse track. Now, Chief Moses had come from this direction and had left roughly in the direction for Bore 9. Yet neither he nor posthole Frankie had circled the lake to find if the missing horse had called here for a drink. Doubt was thus cast on the missing horse story, and that meant Chief Moses had a different objective. Boney wondered if the true reason for the trip was to scrutinise him. The recent windstorm had wiped clean this page of the Book of the Bush, and Boney found nothing significant of Maidstone's halt. Tenaciously, he made a second encirclement, this time along the fringe of the encircling scrub, a journey of about 2 miles at the edge of the open space created by the cattle. The road taken by Maidstone touched this fringe opposite the boarhead, and here he did find an empty matchbox partly buried by sand and lying at the foot of a tree. It could have been discarded by Maidstone when he stopped here to photograph the boar, or it could have been thrown away by the overseer or one of his two offsiders. There was no trace of a fire to boil water. Had Maidstone stayed a while for a meal, the sand would now cover the embers. Governed by habit, Boney pocketed the matchbox. The brand was not the same as that he had purchased at the Quinambie store, and doubtless had been discarded by Maidstone. The overseer had told the police that Maidstone had lit a fire to make noonday tea. He had seen the ashes of that fire. Now the wind had buried the ashes with sand, Boney felt he should check. Accordingly, he brought the rake and began to rake the ground all about, giving special attention to the small sand hummocks. He unearthed tree debris and eventually brought to light the residue of Maidstone's fire. There were the streaks of burned sand, the ash having been carried away. There were the ends of sticks and the unburned ends of thick boughs. It had been quite a large fire, much too large merely to boil water in a billy can. Here was a discovery that posed many questions. The embers proved the size and the time of the burning, and this in turn strongly indicated that the fire had burned all night. It had been thought all along that Maidstone had stopped at this bore to photograph it the day he had left Quinambie, had boiled water for lunch and then gone on to Bore 10. If he had camped here the day he left Quinambie, then he would not reach Bore 10 until the 9th of the month, not the 8th.